Lord, we thank you so much for a time to really just sit before you and kind of get the feel for your heart, Lord, for us and for our lives. Please speak to each one of us. And just even through worship, Lord, you kept on reminding me of maybe new things to say, but we'll see where that goes. We love you. We want to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is no one chapter or verse that we're going to be looking at in Psalms. But even just getting here, Tom asks, so, you know, what chapter are you going to be in? I said, no, I don't really know. Well, what verse? I don't know. Well, what's your title? I don't really have one. So just put it together, and I'm going to call this A Life of Praise. And I think it's going to be really fitting for what we're going to look at tonight. So the book of Psalms, definitely a unique book in the scriptures because it's a collection of different type of literature. It's full of prayers, full of praise, meditations, and tribulation too. I mean, we see the psalmists writing just different things that are happening, whether it's darkness, whether it's difficulties or songs of praise. So it's said that if the Bible's narrative material relates to what God has done and the prophetic literature reports what God has said, it's the Psalms that represent the response of the people to the acts and words of God. So it's taking in the whole of the Bible and it's responding to God in a sense. With that, the old Hebrew didn't have a specific name for the collection of books that's called Psalms. Later, they called it a book of prayers. In Latin, they called it the book of Psalms. In Greek, they called it songs of praise. And last week, Derek taught on Psalm 145, and I'll touch on that one. But that specific one is the only psalm that's called or subtitled Song of Praise. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And very quickly, praise, defined, is an express warm approval or admonition. And synonyms could be something to the effect of pay tribute to, speak highly of, sing the praise of, rave about, make much of. And those will come into play later as we're still studying. So, in all of that, before we get into verses, I wanted to talk about, like Tom said, I do social media all day long. So I am on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and anything else at least 8 hours a day for work and then a couple more hours just because I like to a day. So that's what I do. So in that, I do marketing and digital marketing and it's always in blogging and you're always trying to figure out how do you drive people to your stuff? What makes people share what I'm writing so they can learn about my company or the benefits I can provide for them? So we're going to take a look at how things are shared and why things are shared. So before technology, before the smartphone, the laptop, the tablets, things were shared verbally, obviously. Most of the scriptures were passed down verbally. But we also have handwritten letters, notes, and postcards. How many people send postcards still? A couple people. So with technology, we have email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, tweets. We have texts, Snapchat, and the list goes on. So why do people use those to share? People share great content because it makes them look, and now it either makes them look good, it makes them look smart, controversial, connected, funny, insightful. Maybe they look like a go-to resource for whatever their interest is. So think through those things. When you share something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? Why are you sharing it? Who shared Charlie Bit My Finger? Pretty popular viral YouTube video. It got shared a ton because it showed others that you thought it was funny. And you were inviting them to have a laugh with you. The presidential election, when Obama got reelected, the most retweeted tweet was his victory after the reelection. It was the most retweeted in history because people were a part of that event and they wanted to share that they were a part of it somehow. So that's why people share. So in 1966, okay, before everything that I just mentioned, a study said that 64% of stuff was shared because it was about the sharer themselves to either gain attention or to show that they had the inside information, to be helpful or to reach out to someone else. So that's reasons why people share content. But why don't we share content? Just think about that. I'm not going to go into that, but why don't we share what we see? So just to summarize that, we share and it expresses who we are, whether we thought it was funny or we liked it or thought it was engaging. So just consider that when you guys share on Facebook tonight or post something to Instagram, why are you sharing it? It tells a lot about who we are. Real quick, I looked up significant moments that have been shared on Twitter. The top five, 268,000 tweets per minute was the number one thing shared about the 2013 Super Bowl. I don't even know what number it is. But it was about the halftime show because Destiny's Child got back together to sing the halftime show. 231,500 tweets were about the blackout for that same Super Bowl. 185,000 tweets, again, this is per minute, was that the Super Bowl kickoff return of 108 yards. The top three so far have been about football. The fourth, 158,690 tweets per minute were about the first presidential debate about between Mitt Romney and Obama. And then the fifth was 150,000 tweets per minute about the 2013 NBA Finals. So out of the top five, four were about sports. One was about the election. And of the top 10, there were two about the election, the debates, and the rest were either entertainment or sports. Now, keep it going. On Facebook, the most checked-in locations in the U.S., Times Square, Disneyland, AT&T Park, where the Giants play, Yankee Stadium, Ranger Ballpark, Fenway Park, Dodger Stadium, Universal Studios, Wrigley Field, and Angel Stadium. The most checked-in places in the U.S. on Facebook. Why? It's because we want people to share what we're doing. Personally, I've been to five different baseball stadiums this season and seen 10 different games, and I've checked into every one of them. Some of them have been with people. Some of them have been by myself. But I check in, and I tweet it out. I might share it to Facebook. But I'm telling people, hey, I'm here. Kind of join with me or at least see what I'm doing. Why do we do that? So again, for those people who do send postcards or used to send postcards, what's the common phrase that you would put on the back of a postcard and send it off? Perfect. That's exactly it. Wish you were here, right? And it's of what? It's of sunsets in Hawaii. It's Times Square or the Eiffel Tower. It's somewhere you are where someone else isn't, and you want to share that moment with them. And now we just bust out our phones and we take a little Instagram and we post it to five different social networks, right? But we're inviting people in to what we're doing that couldn't be there with us. So all of that, how does that relate to us as believers, to our study in the Psalms and the Bible? Let's get into that. We can all agree that the Word of God is God-breathed. The Scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he tells us why. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction. He says that for this reason, that the man of God may be complete. So the Scriptures are here for us that we may be complete, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God completes us. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. At the end of that 21, it says, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's how we got our Scriptures, right? They're God-given, and men wrote them as they were moved by God, the Holy Spirit, to write them. So both God gives the revelation, but he also gives the meaning. So let's connect some dots here. If men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is telling us in the book of Psalms to praise God, then God is telling us to praise God. Follow me on that? God, the Holy Spirit, is telling us to praise God the Father. Let that sink in for a second here. How many of us have friends that say, hey, look what I did? Now go tell other people what I did. Or how many people, their Instagram feeds are full of selfies? And if you don't know what that is, it's taking the camera and pointing it to yourself, taking a picture and posting it. It's about you and who you are and how awesome you are and what you're wearing today or whatever it is. Who likes to hang out with people like that? I know, I'm touching on a slippery slope here. Like I said, I've checked into plenty of baseball stadiums. I do it. We all do it. So Psalms, consider this. 24 times in 18 verses, it says, praise him. Talking about God. God says it about himself. 39 times in 35 different verses, it says, praise the Lord. The psalmist is telling us, praise the Lord. 11 times in 11 verses, it says, I will sing your praise either to you or to your name. 10 times in 9 verses, it says, sing to the Lord. 31 times in 29 verses, it says, to praise you, meaning God. 7 times in 7 verses, it says, your praise. 10 times in 10 verses, it says, your glory. 6 times in 6 different verses, it says, praise your name. 14 times in 14 different verses, it says, I will praise you. And 7 times in 7 different verses, it says, declare his works, his righteousness, or his glory. So in all of those, the psalmist is telling us to praise him, to sing to the Lord, to declare his works, his righteousness, his glory. Again, this is the Holy Spirit moving on men to write these words for us to say, praise him, worship him, sing his glories. But for God, it's not the same as him taking a selfie and saying, worship me. It's not the same as him saying, hey, see that? I did that. It's different. So one of my favorite things that has, I guess, opened my understanding to how we enjoy things and why we share things, again, coming back to that. This is a commentary about why God wants us to praise him and why he commands us to praise him. This is by C.S. Lewis. It says, but the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise, unless, sometimes even if, shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought into check. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, that's cars, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised least. But don't miss this part. He went on to say, I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that magnificent? The psalmist is telling everyone to praise God. The psalmist, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us that regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing about everything else we value. I hope it's really starting to come together in that. He's saying that, excuse me, let me continue here. He says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. In its appointed consummation, it is not out of compliment that lovers keep telling one another how beautiful they are, that the delight is incomplete until it's expressed. Now, I hope that last part, the delight is incomplete until it's expressed, really drives home kind of what I'm talking about. For me, I recently went to a Padres game and I was sitting by myself, perfect seats. I couldn't have been closer from here to the sound booth, probably closer to the field at the Padres dugout. Pretty close, right? Front row, we would say. But I was there by myself. Sure, I was meeting someone that I hadn't met yet, actually. So it wasn't like I was meeting up with friends. And I text Carly just to say, you know, that I'm having fun. But the point is, I wanted to share that moment with her. And I would have preferred that she was there with me. But it wasn't enough just to be there by myself. Of course, I checked in. I had to tweet it out. But it wasn't enough just to be in perfect seats at a Padres game. I had to share it somehow because I didn't know the person next to me or the person next to me. I was high-fiving this lady that loved the center fielder, but she was all about him. So I high-five. But I wanted, you want to share those moments. So the commentator says, that's the solution. We praise what we enjoy because the delight is incomplete until it is expressed in praise. If we were not allowed to speak of what we value and celebrate what we love and praise what we admire, our joy would not be full. Man would not be complete. Right? So let's read some Psalms, because this is hopefully going to drive it. It's going to drive it all home. In Psalm 103, David did not stop with just the language of praise. he complemented it with a description of what the Lord continued to do. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's praise to God. And this is why. This is what God did. "And forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion." The commentator said about that, he says, "The language of praise dominates the opening first two verses and the closing two verses, verses 20 and 22. Whereas the main body of the hymn describes the Lord in terms of what he has done and who he is. At some point, the person who praises must endow the vocabulary of praise with content. We can praise God without using the special language of praise, but we cannot long maintain the genuineness of language without relating his being and works." So again, Derek in Psalm 145, obviously it's longer, but the first seven verses say, "I will extol you, my God and King, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." The Psalms are full of praise to God, and we're being invited in to join with him. Psalm 95. "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Psalm 71, verse 8. "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. And that's where I'm pulling my title here, A Life of Praise. Everything that has breath. Everything that has breath. We're being called to praise the Lord. How do we do that? One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 16:11. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I think how we do all the other verses is in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and we are not complete without expressing it. So why not go to the source? "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore," that verse says. And what I see as a correlation to that in the New Testament, again, is one of my favorite verses. And I think this is probably why, because I think so related, is Colossians 3, where it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. At that right hand is a special place of honor and privilege, and that's where we're called to be. I think once we're there, and once we realize the blessing of the Lord and the fullness that he brings to our lives, we'll be able to tweet it out, so to speak, right? We'll want to praise the Lord. We'll want to share that. We'll want to check in. That'd be cool to check in at the right hand of God, right? A commentator says, if God loves us the way the Bible says he does, then he would give us what is best for us. And what is best for us is himself, not just his gifts. So to close, Psalm 22:25 says, it says, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. So where does our praise originate from? Is it from our deep satisfaction in God? Or is it simply from the gifts that we get from God? What if those gifts were taken away? Think about Job. The gifts were taken away, but he still praised the Lord. So let's join with the psalmist throughout all the different ways that they exalted the Lord and praised the name of God, and all the verses that say, praise the Lord, sing to him, to show that we value God above all else. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to check in at the right hand of the Father. We want to be found in you. We want to be found in your presence, to be complete, full of joy, lacking nothing, even apart from your gifts, Lord. We just want to sit at your right hand. Help us to consider those things that we share, Lord. Are we sharing about you? Are we praising you? Lord, do a work in our lives, my life. Help us to really take Colossians 3 and say that we are dead, but we are alive in Christ. We ask that in Jesus' name. And we ask blessing upon, Lord, those that couldn't make it. And ask, Father, God, to just usher us into a new time of what it means to honor, to serve, to praise, and to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.